And so my message is, I've got one page of notes. Okay? And really it's kind of like he said this morning, it's not really a sermon. It's something that's laid on my heart. It's a fear. It's something that I'm worried about. Not for in this church in particular. I'm talking about for my life, for your life, for your kids' lives. It's something that scares me. It's my biggest fear, and it should be a fear to all of us. And it's going to sound really silly, so I need you to stick with me, but my fear is comfort. I fear comfort. I read a few days ago on Fox News an article that over the last decade, 10 years, over the last decade, 900,000 people have lost their lives because of their Christian faith. You think about that. That's almost 1 million people in the world that have given up their life for their Christian faith. That's persecution. That's hard times. I was telling him last night that I'm reading a book right now by Jim Cimbala, and he gives a testimony of this. Their church has prayer service and a prayer meeting every Tuesday night. And one Tuesday morning a couple years ago, he was at a coffee shop and he opened up the paper, and there was an article in this paper about this town in Pakistan who were persecuting the Christians that lived there in that town. They had been meeting kind of underground and doing their thing, and they were being persecuted. And Jim Cimbala said the Holy Spirit just put such a burden on his heart all day long. That's all he could think about. Then he walked into that prayer meeting on Tuesday night, and he took the microphone and he opened up the service by telling the story and saying, "I just feel like we need to pray for this town in Pakistan, for this community in Pakistan, for the ministers, for the people that are preaching the gospel there. I just feel like we need to pray." And he said, as the church was praying, and he said they were praying fervently for this need, he said one of his associate pastors walked up to him and whispered in his ear and said, "You're not going to believe this, but a wife of one of the pastors in that community is in New York City visiting, and she's in our congregation right now." And he said, "Are you serious?" He said, "Take her and vet her." Because he said, naturally, he was a little skeptical. He said, "Take her, make sure everything she's saying is right." Well, they brought her back and said she is. They brought her up on stage. They prayed for her. A couple weeks later, she went back home. And they had given them a contact through the internet, through some of you know DJ and Lindsay here in Ireland were talking to them through some apps, through Wi-Fi, through internet. And they had contact to this lady through one of those systems. And one Sunday morning, they got a text from this lady that was in their church, and it said, "Please pray. Our life is coming to an end." Said that the entire community had rose up against them, and they were on the roof of their home, and the community surrounded their house, and they were threatening to kill them, and they knew that their time was coming. They were getting ready to give up their life for Jesus Christ. And Jim Cimbala said he walked in. It was before the service started. He walked in and he said, he told the church, he told them what was going on. He said, "Let's pray, let's pray, let's pray." And he said they began to pray, and they prayed for an hour. And he said they just kept going. Well, after service was over, he went and found one of his associate pastors, and he said the pastor was smiling. And he said, "You're not going to believe this. She sent me a text and said that about the time we started praying, a huge thunderstorm came out of nowhere and dispersed the crowd." And said, "They're fine." Why am I telling you that? Because our God is still that kind of God. Our God is still a miracle-working God. I'm thinking of right now, me and we had a conversation, another conversation we had last night. I'm not going to mention any names, but there's an 18-year-old girl. There's an 18-year-old girl that's getting ready to go into the mission field. People are trying to talk her out of it. Why? Because she's going to a country that is closed off from the Western world. They're a Muslim country. She's a pretty blonde 18-year-old girl, and she's going to this place by herself. Said people are trying to talk her out of it, and what she told this individual was, "I understand the danger, but my master told me to go." She said, "I have faced the realization that I may or probably may lose my life while I'm there, but the master has asked me to go." And I think about that. My first of all, when I was 18, good gracious, there's no way. But I think about that because I believe that God is raising up, and Desi said this last night, that God is raising up a generation of people that are getting ready to catch that fire for God and make a difference in this world. And I, for one, want to be a part of that. Now hear me. I am so thankful. I am so thankful for this country that we live in. And I am so thankful for McCurtain County. And I am so thankful that I can walk across the street to church and worship God without the fear of something like that happening. I am so thankful for that. That is a huge blessing. I am so thankful for that. But at the same time, it makes me fearful. You see, my idea of persecution as a Christian is someone unfriending me on Facebook because they don't like me. We laugh, but we're serious. My idea of persecution is someone talking about me because they don't like me. When there's 900,000 Christians over the last 10 years that have given up their life for the Christian faith, it scares me to the point to maybe where I think I have become comfortable. I have become so comfortable. You see, the disciples, I think back to the disciples. The disciples gave their life. Most of the disciples died brutal deaths for Jesus, for the gospel. But I'm going to tell you, they weren't always that way. You see, the disciples, we know that Peter died by crucifixion. I've read accounts of history and different accounts. It says that Mark was told to quit preaching the gospel or be drugged through the city by a horse. And he chose to be drugged through the city by a horse until dead. And I think about this stuff, and you know, we don't face these things, thank goodness. Thank God. But they gave up their lives. They died brutal deaths for the gospel of Jesus Christ. But they were not always that way. You see, let's flip with me real quick to Matthew chapter 26. Flip with me to Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 through 46. Jesus here is at Gethsemane, and he knows that his time is coming to an end with mere hours. And it says, then Jesus went with them to the olive grove called Gethsemane, and he said, sit here while I go over there to pray. He took Peter and Zebedee's two sons, James and John. He became anguished and distressed. He told them, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. So notice this. Jesus is telling the disciples, they've been with Jesus for 3 years. Jesus is saying, I am to the point of anguish. I am so anguished. I am so distressed and I am to the point of death. Please stay with me. Keep watch with me. It says, Jesus went on a little further and bowed with his face to the ground, praying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. Then he returned to the disciples and found them asleep. He said to Peter, couldn't you watch with me even 1 hour? Keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation, for the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Then Jesus left a second time and prayed, my Father, if this cup cannot be taken away unless I drink it, your will be done. When he returned to them again, he found them sleeping, for they couldn't keep their eyes open. Think about this for a second. They were sleeping. This Jesus that they had spent years with, seen these miracles, heard this teaching, seen all the powerful things that he did, he asked them, stay here, stand here, keep watch for me. I am so distressed, I'm to the point of death. Please keep watch with me. And they fell asleep. Not once. They fell asleep multiple times. You see, I have a hard time believing that in year one of Jesus' ministry that Peter would have fell asleep. I have a hard time believing that when Peter first met Jesus and his eyes were awakened, that this godly man that was going around raising the dead, that was going around healing the sick, that was going around doing these works, doing these teachings, doing these miracles, showing this love to everybody. I have a hard time believing that in that first year that Peter at that point would have fallen asleep on Jesus. But after 3 years, you know, Peter may have got comfortable. Peter might have been comfortable being around Jesus. He got used to it. He had been comfortable being around the Savior, around the Messiah. In fact, let's look at Matthew chapter 26 again. Look with me at verses 55 through 56. Now the soldiers are there to arrest Jesus, and he says, "Then Jesus said to the crowd, 'Am I some dangerous revolutionary that you come with swords and clubs to arrest me? Why didn't you arrest me in the temple? I was there teaching every day.' But this is all happening to fulfill the words of the prophets as recorded in the scriptures." And at that point, all of the disciples deserted him and fled. We continue to read and we see where Jesus is arrested, where Jesus is taken, he's put on trial, and we read, and we all know these stories. We all know these accounts where next Peter goes to the courtyard and he denies Jesus three times. So now in a matter of days, the disciples have fallen asleep on Jesus. The disciples have ran away and fled on Jesus. One of the disciples has disowned Jesus. The youth know what I'm getting ready to say. In Mark, when it talks about the disciples fleeing when Jesus was being arrested, Mark writes that one of them fled naked. That's how scared they were. Literally ran out of their clothes and kept running. Why? Because they were so fearful. You see, these disciples that gave their lives for Jesus Christ, that gave their lives for the gospel of Jesus Christ, within hours of Jesus dying, they fell asleep, they ran away scared, and they disowned him. At that point, who would have ever believed that they would be willing to die for the kingdom? They weren't even willing to stand next to him when he was being arrested. Who would have ever believed that they would be willing to die? So what happened? Well, we look at Acts chapter 1. If you got your Bibles, flip with me to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. This is right before Jesus goes back to his throne. It says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And after saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. The last thing he said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses." Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Verse 14. Now this is where I want us to focus. Verse 14. This is the same Peter that fell asleep. This is the same Peter that ran. This is the same Peter that disowned Jesus three times. Verse 14, it says, "Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, 'Listen carefully, all of you. Fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem, make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that.'" Flip with me to verse 36 through 39. Verses 32, Peter's still talking to these people. It says, "So let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah. Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" And Peter replied, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you, it's to your children, and even to the Gentiles, all who have been called by the Lord our God." Then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all of his listeners, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." And look at verse 41. "Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all." You see, Desi said this morning, don't settle. He said, don't settle. The disciples were told to wait. You see, the thing to me as a human that would have made the most sense is when Jesus left, don't waste no time. Go out into all the world, begin proclaiming the gospel. But he said, wait. What he was telling them was, don't settle. You see, the disciples won thousands with no lights, no camera, no action. All they needed was the Holy Spirit. Jesus didn't choose the smartest. He didn't choose the wealthiest. He didn't choose the best looking. All he needed was a group of men that were willing. Because he knew that the power that they needed would come from heaven. He knew that the power that they needed would come from the Holy Spirit. He didn't need to choose the smartest. He didn't need to choose the wealthiest. He didn't need to choose the best spoken. He didn't need to. All he needed were those who were willing. Amen. You see, it would have made sense to me that as soon as Jesus, like I just said, as soon as Jesus left, you would think that it would have been time at that point to go and start spreading the gospel. But Jesus knew that without the Holy Spirit, they would not have the power needed. Now, where in the world am I going with this? Here's my fear. I believe that our comfort is a hindrance. I believe our comfort is a hindrance to the Holy Spirit's power. You see, I see reports all the time. I have missionary friends. I have family that's in missions that are in foreign countries. They tell me consistently about the Holy Spirit's power in these other countries. They tell me consistently about people being wheeled to the front in wheelchairs that have literally no muscles in their legs because they haven't walked in 50 years, and they lay hands on them and they get up. Because our God is still that God. But you see, over there, they know that they need the Holy Spirit to make it to tomorrow. They're not comfortable. They know that at any time, at any day, at any place, that they may have to choose Jesus or here, life on earth. They know that they need the Holy Spirit's power to make it to tomorrow. Comfort. It causes apathy. Comfort even causes unbelief. Many people today will tell you that the Holy Spirit isn't for today. When I hear that, I think about what Desi said this morning about John chapter 10, verse 10. The enemy comes to steal. He comes to steal. He tries to steal that gift that can take us to the next level. Matthew chapter 9, verse 29 talks about your faith. Matthew chapter 9, verse 29, he says, it'll be given according to your faith. Dependent on what we believe. He said this morning, don't settle. Because when we settle, it's like settling for wet manna. Can I tell you something today? Stick with me. Jesus has a fresh fire for every person that is in this room. We are not meant to settle. We are not meant to live in comfort. Oh, I am so thankful for these pews. I'm so thankful for these lights. I'm so thankful for everything that we have. I'm thankful for it. But it scares me to the point of, have I become so comfortable that I have hindered God's power in my life? Have I become so comfortable that I have hindered the Spirit's power, the Spirit's anointing in my life? Because in America, it is so easy not to be dependent on the Spirit. It is so easy not to be dependent on God. It's so easy to believe or to walk down to the altar to give your heart to Christ and have the Holy Spirit live inside of you and to live the rest. But there is more. There is more. Think about this. New York City is a beautiful place from afar. I've been there up close and it's not that beautiful. I heard an amen. New York City has all these great big buildings. I took a cruise through the river there, and I just all of a sudden went mind blank what river that is. Is it the Hudson? I took a cruise there through the Hudson River when I went to New York City at night. It was very beautiful and very powerful. Take your breath away, all these big, huge buildings that are lit up. But let me ask you this. Those big, huge buildings were powerful and could take your breath away and were something beautiful to look at. It would make an impression on you as long as they were receiving power. But when you cut that power off, it wasn't nothing to look at. It's the same thing in our Christian life. If we want to break through our comfort zone, Jesus will help us. If we want that passion, if we want that fire, if we want to live as powerful Christians, if we want to live as the life that Jesus has called us to live, there's a gift that we can receive. He came to give life. He didn't die on the cross. Now, He died on the cross to save me. But I firmly believe that He did not die on the cross to save me and to let me struggle through life here on earth. Now, stick with me. Sure, I'm going to go through trials. Sure, I'm going to go through health problems. Sure, I'm going to lose loved ones. Sure, I'm going to go through financial issues. Sure, I'm going to go through all of that. But He didn't die on the cross so that those may conquer me. He died on the cross to make me dangerous. He died on the cross to win me to His kingdom. He died on the cross so that He may give me the free gift, so that I may make a difference for Him. That verse in Acts chapter 1, I believe it's verse 8. He says, wait, you will receive power from on high and you will be witnesses. Can I make a very, don't throw anything at me. I believe that one of the reasons why we don't see Holy Ghost revivals like we once did when I was just a kid is I believe that we forgot that witnessing part. I believe that Jesus sent that Holy Spirit to come to lift Jesus up. We forget that witnessing part. The Holy Spirit will come and give you power and make you witnesses. You see, in these other countries that are facing persecution, that's what it's all about. Is witnessing. It's about winning lost souls. So when I say comfort, it scares me to know that it's so easy here. It's so easy in the United States. It's so easy in other places. We've become so comfortable. It's so easy just to go to church on Sunday morning and go through the motions. I was telling Desi last night, and guys, this is the truth. And if you don't, I want you to listen to this. I could go over to Hayward School the first day of school next year, and I promise you, I could line up every student in that school, and Carol, I promise you, I could ask them, are you a Christian? And I may find five that will tell me no. Because we live in a nation where everybody thinks they're Christians. We live in a nation where we don't understand the power, we don't understand the blood, we don't understand the gift that Jesus has for us. There is no power in my words without the Holy Spirit. Amen. There is no power in our Christian lives without the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you give me, worship team can come. I told you tonight wasn't like a normal sermon. It's something that's been on my heart. It's been youth. It's been on my heart for the adults. He said this morning, don't settle. Jesus has so much more. He has so much more. The Holy Spirit wants to empower you to live the life that God has called for you to live. Because without His help, I can't live it. If you would have told me years ago that I would be standing in front of a crowd preaching about the gospel of Jesus, I'd have laughed you out of the room. But one reason was I wasn't in love with Jesus enough. And the second reason was because I was scared to talk in front of crowds. And I don't know if you've noticed or not, but I'm not. Something about me's changed. And it's not me. It's the power of the Holy Spirit has equipped me to do what God needs me to do. Tonight, I quit a little bit early, I think. Sometimes I ramble and I preach for longer than I think I did, so I don't know. But tonight, I wanted to issue a challenge that I felt God laid on my heart. I believe every single one of us in here, maybe you've never received baptism in the Holy Spirit. Maybe you did years ago. I'm going to tell you something. He has fresh anointing for everyone that's in this room. He has a fresh power for you, for everyone that's in this room. Don't settle. Don't settle. It's so easy for us to be relaxed in our Christian faith. It's so easy for us to be relaxed in our Christian walk. It's so easy. But Jesus, but God, He has so much more for our lives. Don't settle. So tonight, as the worship team begins to play, I wanted to quit early enough to let everyone get down into the altars if you can. I know some people can't. But I challenge you tonight that if you can, find you somewhere. Find you somewhere to get alone with God. Find you somewhere to seek that presence. Find you somewhere and say these three words. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. He has more for you. He has more for your family. He has more for this church. Come, Holy Spirit. Jesus, please. Lord, open up our lives. Give us a fire like we've never felt. Lord God, it's not just motivation. Lord, it's a feeling. It's your fire that comes in and lights a passion inside of us. A fire that consumes the things in our lives that aren't supposed to be there. A fire that consumes the things in our lives that you want out. Lord, help us to repent. If there's things in our lives that we need to get rid of, help us to repent. Help us to turn to You. Help us to run to You, Jesus. Help Your Holy Spirit's fire to sweep through this place. Help us to lift You up. The Holy Spirit doesn't come to lift me up. He doesn't come to lift up this church. He's only interested in lifting up Jesus. If you're in here tonight, I'm asking you at this moment as they begin to play, find somewhere to get along with God. Find somewhere to pray. Seek that Spirit. Seek that presence. Jesus, Jesus.